listening to Advocate Radio. This is the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, October 11th, 2011. I'm Carrie Mitchell, an editor at Advocate, and with me today is regular podcaster Carol Toler. Good to have you, Carol.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we are actually podcasting at Lake Highlands High School today, and we have longtime Lake Highlands social studies teacher Casey Boland here with us. Casey, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking me.
We're going to talk today about lots of stuff about Lake Highlands High School. Essentially, Carol's been writing some interesting things in the weeks and months leading up to this podcast. New ratings came out from the Texas Education Agency earlier this year, and that set off some conversation on the blog about the high school. There was another story, another different kind of study a little bit later about college readiness, and Lake Highlands and Richardson ISD as a whole appears to be doing really well in terms of that,
right?
Even though the test scores have dropped. So, Carol, I'm going to let you just take this conversation, and you've sent four kids through this high school.
I have, to various degrees of success, but for those who know my kids, none of that was my fault. That was all Toby Toler's fault. The successful kids all trace back to me, and the ones who had more difficulty were Toby Toler's fault. But I will tell you one secret, and that is that a lot of the stories that I write are about kids from Lake Highlands who do well. And a lot of those stories I get directly from Casey Boland. When kids do cool things at Lake Highlands, she a lot of times is the one who is sending me that information. So I love to hear that. And when I go to Highlands Cafe or Micocena or whatever, and people stop me and say, I loved reading that, a lot of times it's something that Casey Boland sent. So that's fun. The most recent story that was like that was about Katie North, who...
Loved that.
Yeah, she's a cool girl, and I've known her since she was a little bitty thing. She was in our carpool when we went to a Highlander school, and she was just as cute then as she is now at University of Texas, and she is a feel-good story and always has been. But when I wrote about like Highlands High School dropping in the ratings from recognized to acceptable, I think it surprised a few of us, and because we know good things are going on at like Highlands High School. Of the five schools that dropped in RISD, four were in like Highlands District, and that was kind of a jolt. It was pretty explainable by the fact that they changed the way some of the measures were taken, and some of that, you know, that Texas projection measure changed, and it was like before, if they thought you were going to pass, they counted you as passing, and it was kind of, you know, statistics, blankety-blank statistics, like Ronald Reagan used to say. So it's some of that's explainable. But on the other hand, we had a whole lot of comments to that post, and a lot of them said, you know, the same rules apply to us as the other schools in the other parts of the district. How come we had more who dropped than the other parts of RISD? And I think that's a good question. But, Casey, I want to hear what you think about this, because I think a lot of us who, and I know you're an AP teacher, mm-hmm. But you are still a teacher, and I know that a lot of teachers feel a lot of pressure when it comes to tax time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us as parents honestly don't. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we feel a lot of pressure when it comes to SAT time, mm-hmm. because we want our kids to go to college. Mm-hmm. And we feel a lot of pressure when it comes to report card time, because we want our kids to be in the top 10% to go to college.
Yes.
But I don't know that we care as much. Maybe we should. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's as big of a deal to us about tax time as it should be. I don't know.
Yeah. Or AP time.
Maybe so. I don't know. Tell me why it should be a big deal to me.
Well, first of all, in terms of tax and EAC and STARS and all these testing and things like that that we have, that's going to determine...
That's a lot of acronyms.
Yeah, welcome to my life. Sometimes I just turn around and go, I don't know what that... What? What are we talking about now? It's the same test we've been taking forever. That is going to determine whether or not your kid can graduate. SAT is important because, you know, when you get the... You get the application for college, they flat out ask you what that is. I think some of these other tests sort of fall by the wayside at times, like the AP test, because people have so many different incentives for why they take it. I mean, it can be everything from, I worked my butt off for a year and I want to pass this test and I want credit, to it's the only way I'm going to get out of having to take the final exam. I mean, all sorts of different reasons. But I think there's an immediacy to the SAT. They can see that. That's tangible. And then the tax, you're not going to graduate without it. So, you know, and I think that maybe parents like you, and by the way, I had three of the four of the Toller kids, so I'm sort of like the governess for the Toller family.
You didn't have the math Toller. The math Toller had no social studies skills, no. So you were safe.
I love the Tollers. Anyway, I think that with tax and things like that, I think that a lot of parents aren't worried about it because their kids are going to pass it. And I think that because they are tested so, you know, from third grade on, you have a pretty good grasp about whether or not your kid is going to pass those tests. And so
True. That's,
you know, if your kid's been passing it for 10 years, you're not worried the junior year if they're not going to pass math or social studies or something like that.
That's a good point. So if they struggled in third grade, maybe I would have been worried.
Yeah. And if your kids are in classes like AP, the rigor is so much greater. I mean, if there's one thing that, and, you know, and I'm not telling tales out of school. I mean, administrators at Richardson will tell you this too. We don't have an honors level program. It goes from, you know, the on-level tax classes to college-level classes. And the difference is gigantic. And
there's kind of nothing in the middle.
And there's nothing in the middle.
Why is
and,
that?
Probably funding. I mean, really, it would be, and that's nobody's fault. I mean, you do the best with what you can with the money you have. It would be staffing problems. It would be, with AP, you have the college board who says, this is the test we take. This is, they don't give you a curriculum, but it's, you know, the end thing. How do you make it an honors class? I mean, who determines what that means? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of a gray area, but I mean, I just did the numbers. I have 103 AP kids this year. That's just in my AP US classes. And 54 of them didn't take the world history class before. So half of my kids are in this class with no experience being in there. And part of me is terrified by that. And part of me is so excited because they're trying. You know, they know, hey, this was easy. So I need something more. I need to challenge myself more. And to me, that's what we should be doing. It may be, it's much harder, much, much harder to go from a regular class to an AP class, but God, they're trying, you know, and I love that. And, you know.
And really, they're biting off a bigger challenge at a time in their life when all their peers are saying, let's slough off.
Yeah, and, you know, and I teach juniors, and I'm telling you, junior year is so much harder than senior year. And it doesn't sound like it should be, but it is. And, I mean, they're dealing with all the testing they're dealing with. I mean, some of these kids are taking 5 AP classes. I mean, that's insane. I mean, there are a handful of kids who can handle that, but Lord, that is a lot.
And you know, there's also a lot of travel for some of them their junior year because they're doing college visits.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there was just a lot of exhaustion in our house.
And they're doing, it's not like all they're doing is school. I mean, they're in tennis and they're in band and they're in choir and they're in football and, you know, they're in Wranglers and Highlandettes and many of them are in more than one thing. And you want a well-rounded kid, but at some point they're just, you see their little faces and they are just tired. You know, I mean, they look like grown-ups, but they're not. And they are just tired. And then on top of that, you put these really, really rigorous classes. You know, not as many kids as we think can handle a lot of them. But I love the fact that they're trying. The problem gets into how do you determine if this is good or not? Mm-hmm. You know, I am not a data person, but I can give you numbers. You know, I mean, I really can. And when you're talking about here are the numbers, you're looking at those as numbers. I can tell you what, to me, that's a kid. You know, you see, in the AP world, a 1 is the lowest you can get and a 5 is the highest. Well, a 2 is failing. Well, you can't tell me that, oh, a kid has a 2. That's terrible. Well, no. Who's the kid? If he's number 3 in the class and he just decided he didn't want to try that day, that's terrible. If he's a kid who's been here 3 years from Nepal and he's in your class every single day trying to get tutoring and you had to explain to him who George Washington was, because can you tell me the first president of Nepal? I mean,
right.
You know, and he gets a 2. That is an astounding achievement. And so, but it, you know, but you still have to look at the end numbers. It's just, you know, it's just not that simple. And no, everybody is, I believe with my whole heart that everybody has good intentions, but not everybody's looking at the same end game. It's like everybody has a tiny little piece of the puzzle and they're trying to fix stuff and, you know, feelings get hurt and I don't understand this and you should care about the end score, like a football game. You know, you should care about the end grade, and that's all that matters is what they finally get.
But that's what it's boiled down to, is an end score. And that's, and you know, there's realtors in Cadillacs driving around Lake Highlands showing people houses, driving around all over Dallas, and they're saying, this house is in a recommended school area. Mm-hmm. This house is in an accepted school area. Yeah. This house is in an exemplary school area. Which house do you want?
Exactly.
And that's what it comes down to. And they're not going to tell the story that you just told about the kid from Nepal.
Exactly.
They're just not going to tell that.
No, they're
going
to probably, just to give them a little credit, they probably don't know that.
No, they don't know that story. And then, I mean, and to give everybody credit, let's face it, if you are not in my shoes sitting, you know, in front of these kids every single day, one-on-one, how would you know? I mean, it's not anybody not doing their job or not paying attention. You just don't have my job. You don't have the access to these 35 kids in every single class who are, you know, are trying and stuff like that and the tutoring, and you see them and you learn about them and you get to know them. And I'm in a very privileged position to know those things about people. You know, it's not that other people aren't trying. It's just that they don't have that relationship with the kids. They are ultimately looking at, we need these numbers to go up. And so, you know, what do you do from there? There you go.
And I wonder, you talked about the kids who are, you know, taking the 5 AP classes and juggling a bunch of extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. Those are not usually the ones we're worried about not passing these tax tests. Is that...
Oh, not the... the tax test. Let me tell you. I'm very... I don't know if proud is the right word. I'm very happy, you know, every year when they give me my certificate and say, hey, congratulations, you have 100% pass rate. I'm very happy about that. And I do, you know, teach them about tax and all that kind of stuff. But let's face it, if you're sitting in class as rigorous as mine is, you're going to pass tax. That's not a concern. And it's, you know, even the people who are barely passing my class, they're going to pass tax.
Okay.
And so... But I am also very aware that you cannot teach every kid in this building at the level that I teach these kids, because not everybody's on the same page. I mean, it would be fantastic if every single person got an AP education. That's not realistic. I mean, that's not about, some of it's about work ethic, but some of it is about they don't have the natural ability. Some of it is, so much of it about is, where are they coming from? You know, I mean, the only reason I tell you that I did the numbers on how many people have taken AP prior to my class, and I teach a junior level class, is those skills matter. You know, if the first time you are dealing with high level thinking skills, analysis in terms of history and communication and things like that, the first time you do that is when you're 17, you are at a severe disadvantage to those kids you're sitting next to you who have been doing that, you know, since at least seventh grade, when we start teaching social studies in Texas. And then, especially if you come from backgrounds where you've got educated parents, you have parents who your whole life have spoken correctly, and they read to you, and you come from a household that reads and knows history and has a context to all this kind of stuff, it's not a level playing field. I mean, we like to believe it is, but the truth is it's not. And so how do you fix that? Well, let me sit at the right hand of God and I can tell you. You know, I mean, I don't know, but I can tell you that I believe wholeheartedly that a lot of people are trying, but it is not an easy issue. If anybody tells you it's a black-white issue, they're not dealing with all the facts. So.
Well, you know, I'm glad that we have a lot of attention on it. I'm glad that we had so many commenters. That tells me that people are concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the administration is looking at it. That tells me that they're concerned.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you go to meetings and stuff across the district. Is it your perception that Lake Highlands is struggling compared to other schools in the RISD? Do you have any ideas about why our scores might have dropped?
Well, I can tell you that it's This time of year, the sky is always falling, Chicken Little.
Yeah.
Because everybody, especially when you're talking about people used to be coaches, I mean, everything is, it doesn't matter that you have a 98% pass rate, you've got to have 100%. I mean, you know, true. Everything. And that's, you know, there's value in that.
True. True.
I can tell you that there's a lot of, we get compared demographically to all the other schools. And again, there's value in that, and I understand why it happens, but it's not always apples and it's not always apples and apples. Mm-hmm. Many times, you know, just because Richardson has a certain Hispanic population and Lake Highlands has a Hispanic population, that doesn't necessarily mean we're dealing with the same group of people. They're both brown, but I mean, you know, you don't know what I'm saying? It's just they assume that if you fall into this demographic, then everything about your life is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying if you're white and you live in Lake Highlands, then of course this is who you are and everything's correct. I mean, everything's the same, and it's just not.
Yeah.
And, you know, our communities are completely different. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the Bergner community as opposed to the Pierce community and the Richardson community. Lake Highlands is, I mean, the reason I've been here for so long is we're in the middle of Dallas. But this is a little town,
mm-hmm.
and for all its, you know, wonderment and terribleness, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And there are things that some people care about, and there are things that some people don't. And we're not always on the same page about what it is that we all care about. But it's valid to see those things. But I also think that it needs to be brought up that it's not always an absolute fair comparison across the board. So, I mean, think about our demographics. I mean, we are 30%, I mean, 33, 33, 25. I mean, we are incredibly diverse in this community. And that has incredible value in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway.
You know, I wish the realtors, instead of having one marker to point to, could mm-hmm. could be more anecdotal in storytelling
mm-hmm.
about, you know, success stories.
True.
Instead of one marker.
I would love that.
I don't know that can happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard because that, I was just thinking, you know, that is the only marker in some ways they have to work
mm-hmm.
with. If for somebody who's brand new to a neighborhood or to a city and doesn't really know, I guess you can probably go on a tour of a school. I don't know
mm-hmm.
how much information that really gives you. You know, people who are moving into a new place are somewhat at a disadvantage when they're learning about an area. They
mm-hmm.
just really don't know what there is. And so in a sense, the state accountability ratings have a way to say, you know, this is exemplary. This is acceptable. This is recognized. And you kind of just have this general, oh, all right, kind of idea. And that, I don't know. As a parent, that's not enough for me. I'm thankful that I know enough about,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to probably move in a couple of years, and I'm thankful that I know enough about these schools that I can tell you. I mean, there's a school in East Dallas, for example, that it was Stonewall Jackson that
mm-hmm.
just went from exemplary to acceptable in 1 year, and that's just crazy. But there are reasons behind that that make a lot of sense, but if you don't know those reasons, then you're really at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like those do seem to affect property values more than they affect parents who already have bought into
mm-hmm.
the, not system, that's not a great word there, but you know, I mean, like,
uh-huh.
somebody like you already sent your kids to high school here, you can say, yes, this is a great school, and these teachers are great, and
I don't even flinch. It doesn't, and it doesn't
right.
affect me when it comes time to recommend to friends or
mm-hmm.
to encourage my kids to, when it's time for them to marry and come back, doesn't affect me at all, doesn't make me hesitate at all.
Mm-hmm. So I guess then what do you do with that if you're somebody new to an area? I don't know that you can do anything else. I think exactly what you were saying earlier, Casey, about,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm at an advantage because I know the stories behind each kid,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So this person is not, you know, the kid who failed the test. This is the kid who moved here 2 years ago, is still learning the language, and the
mm-hmm.
fact that he he got this score on the test is nothing short of miraculous. Yeah, yay! Right. Yeah. To celebrate.
Exactly.
You know? I probably have referenced this before, but I sat in at a lecture series earlier this year where Jeffrey Canada of the Harlem Children's Zone, I think it is, was there, as well as Margaret Spellings, who's the former U.S. Secretary of Education. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about test scores and accountability. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Jeffrey Canada said was, okay, so you could take two teachers at the same school who teach the same grade or subject or whatever and say, you know, test them at the end of the year. And one classroom got 91% and one classroom got 79%. So you could make that instant comparison, but he said that's not the way to do it. What you need to do is test them at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, and then different points throughout the year, just kind of.
And you know, we had that when we were growing up. I mean, I remember doing that. You had to take like pretests, and I remember distinctly doing that in fifth grade. I mean, I placed out of fourth grade English because my dad was and so I was Mr. Michael's aid. I guess I don't know exactly how to explain it, but that is what they did. They said we need to know where you are because that's
the marker of whether you're getting better. What if the 91% classroom is rated at 98%?
Yeah, and you know, and Tracy Bishkin, who she's just down the hall, she's oh my god, she's just fabulous. And she always says, you know, if you have for AP specifically, if you have a kid who gets a 4 or 5 on a test, yeah, I mean you're happy for them and you're proud of them, but they probably walked in your classroom with that ability. If you can get a kid to, you know, go from a 1 to a 2 or a 2 to a 3, those as teachers are the incredible successes. And, I mean, those are, you know, huge leaps and bounds and all that kind of stuff. And so
that's such a good point because that's probably more tied to you and your instruction.
Yeah.
So that's probably something that you go home and say, yay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm proud about that. It's not that I'm not proud of the, you know, all the kids who do incredibly well because those are really hard tests. And I don't want to diminish the kids who have achieved their entire life because they work for that. You don't just become, you know, one of the top 10 kids by sitting around and saying, I'm just naturally smart. I mean, you work at it. And getting those kinds of scores, you have to pay attention. You have to keep up all year long. I mean, it is work. But some of those kids, like, okay, I'm going to drink my coffee and I'll ignore you. And they would still do well. And so, but some of the other ones, they walk in and you're like, you will never pass that test. But you will learn so much being in this class. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about AP is that if you just are in the class, I mean, if you are just trying at a level that is this hard and this rigorous, that's the education buzz phrase for, you know, AP classes, rigorous, you do so much better in college. I mean, there was a story in the Dallas Morning News the other day about, okay, who cares about getting into college? Who's getting out? I mean, look how many people are not getting out of college. And if there's value in an Ivy League education, it's most people graduate from Ivy League schools will think about how hard it is to get in. You know, some schools, it's not hard to get in, but it's going to be really difficult getting out. They do expect you to learn something and to produce and all that kind of stuff. And
you know, I think that's the paradox of us as parents is we don't want to put our child in a class that's too hard because we know they'll make a bad grade or they could. And then their GPA will suffer, and then they won't get into the college they want to get into or we want them to get into. And then they'll look bad and we'll look bad. But the truth is, if they went ahead and took that class, their success rate at college would probably improve.
Exactly. And I can do a little bit, hopefully, to alleviate some fears about that. Do the math. The 10% rule in the state of Texas, oh, I've got issues with that. You know, especially for kids who are going through a school like Lake Highlands. But it is what it is. But 10% at Lake Highlands in this graduating class is what, 50 kids maybe? So if you're not in AP classes and you're not getting the points, the quality points that go with that, you're not going to, I mean, it's very unlikely that you're going to be in the top 10%. And if you're not automatically in the top 10%, what colleges are looking for is how hard did you push yourself? What did you try? You know, and college admissions officers from UT and Texas have said this to my face. You know, they know the reputation of schools in Texas. And Lake Highlands has a great reputation as a high school. If you have, if you're sitting in there with a 92 or, God forbid, a B average, as if that's bad, and but you took AP English and, you know, some sort of higher level math and AP US history and all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't have to be continuous, it can be sporadic, but you tried. They see that and they realize, okay, you know, this is a kid who's testing himself. If you've got a math kid and he proved that he was, you know, trying in math and really good in math, so your history, you have regular history. Okay, great. You know, or vice versa. What they're not going to be impressed by is you have a 99 average and you didn't take a dang thing that was hard. You know, not for you, because some regular classes are going to be extremely hard for kids. But if you consistently have a 98, a 99, a 100 in a class,
push yourself.
You're not pushing yourself at all.
Yeah.
And what colleges are really looking for is not breadth; they're looking for depth. And if you are a tennis player, well, make sure you're actually a tennis player. You don't just talk about it. Don't be in 14 different clubs. Do something. You know, take these classes that a couple of the every year that challenge you, and keep at it and do your best at it. You know, if you're heavily involved in church, you know, well, make sure that that's something that you do, and it's not just, hey, one time I did a recital in fifth grade, I'm going to put this on a resume. I'm a dancer. I mean, that they don't care about that. That just looks like you're trying to pad a resume. They're looking for you have actually developed a skill in something. And so nobody expects an 18-year-old to know what they want to do with life, but they do expect commitment. They expect trying, you know, that sort of thing. And so if you have a kid like that, I can't guarantee he's going to get into A&M or Texas. I mean, they have so many issues with having to take who they have to take and all that kind of stuff. But they will get in somewhere. And if they have a good work ethic, a really strong work ethic, and they have a good background in academics, some AP classes on their, they are, you know, exponentially better off. I mean, the talk about data. There's so much data proves that to be true. Even if you never passed an AP exam in your life, even if you took the classes, you do so much better in college. And so,
and segueing from that into college readiness, I mean, so what you're saying is, you know, mm-hmm. take some AP classes mm-hmm. or one.
Maybe. Yeah, and I would say that's. You know, we have AVID on campus, which I'm just a huge fan of this program, and it is for people who are first time in their families going to college. And one of the requirements for AVID is you are in an AP class. And I get a lot of them. English gets a lot of them. I can't speak for English, but social studies gets a lot of AVID kids because there's no prerequisite. You know, when you get into upper level science and math and stuff, it tends to be a prerequisite. But anybody who wants to take an AP history class can do it.
You can jump in at any level.
You can jump in at any level. And they allow you, even though, again, they act as if there's no skill involved in history classes, you know, but you can do it. But the reason behind that is, it's always been my understanding that the reason behind that is, if you're going to prepare kids for college, you've got to prepare kids for college. And they have to have at least some understanding that, you know, minimum skills is not going to, I mean, there are very few college classes that's going to get you through. And so it has to be a little more challenging.
Well, it's all good advice. I think the realtors should throw a couple of Shea Snyders and Callie Harrods mm-hmm. in the backseat of their car, and that's the best explanation.
How about Chris Bird?
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris Bird he was one of my ACT UC kids and AP assistant kids, and he is at Austin College right now, and he is doing his junior year. He's at the State Department right now, and the next semester he's going to Oxford.
Oh, wow. African-American boy.
Yes.
Impeccable manners, fabulous family, wonderful
absolutely.
Boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Quincy Lane's at University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's, yes, we have, you know, clearly we have the normal demographic of people who do well, but we have kids across the board in this community who are doing well.
That's true.
You know, and they have such incredible backgrounds, which just serves them so well in life, you know, to have such diversity and, you know, not just diversity in their own life, but just being around it. I mean, think about what if your child is at Lake Highlands High School right now, he spends more time with people who are not like him than we do as adults.
Absolutely.
And they live, I mean, this place is the UN. And it's fantastic. And you hear so many different languages. You have so many different backgrounds. I mean, we have rich and poor and black and white and gray and everything in between. And, you know, it's when we get older in life that we start segregating ourselves. But right now, this is the world, and it is a fantastic place. And they learn. There's so much knowledge involved in that. So that should be on a bumper sticker.
There we go. That's what the realtors need to be telling us.
Mini Highlands, a mini UN.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one right there. We can get someone to do a graphic for that.
There you go.
We will work something up. Casey, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Welcome.
And thanks, Carol, again, for being here. Did you have something you wanted to plug?
No. I think we are very fortunate, Lake Highlands, to have some great teachers doing great work. She mentioned Tracy Bishkin. David Wood is also another one that feeds me success stories. There are some great success stories of teachers and students in Lake Highlands High School.
Lovely. Great. Well, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.